East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning session number 2, Preaching the Gospel. Message number 3, Prayer.
We're going to get into the message in the section on the gospel and actually flip to the message. It's on prayer. It's message 2, actually. Right, message 2. Preaching the gospel. This message is on preaching the gospel. Amen. This message is on prayer. Amen. Everybody got the right outline? Then why don't you go ahead? If you can open your Bibles up. Let's enjoy one verse together, at least one verse. John 15, verse 16. Amen. You might have memorized it by now. I think we got into it a little bit earlier this week. We like to be the branches in the vine just asking. Amen. I really appreciate in this verse, the first part, we just look at the verse together here. Of course, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So we didn't do anything to initiate our salvation, but he chose us, right? Amen. It's all on the Lord's side. Amen. He chose you. And then this next phrase, it's kind of a longer one. It's got some, a lot in there. I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Amen. All of that comes out of just those first four words, and I set you. Amen. And we enjoyed the other day that the setting is the grafting, right? Right? We've been grafted into the vine. The vine is Christ. So we've been grafted. We've been set into this vine. But also another sense of this word setting you is on the one hand, we've been set in Christ, but we've also been set by the Lord in our different environments. We have been set there. The Lord set us there. He set us in him. And he has set us in all our different situations. That in all those different situations, we would do what? Bear fruit. Amen. Then our fruit should remain. Amen. All this comes out of actually of the Lord's setting. So he is the agent, you would say, right? He's the one who's doing this. Okay, but in this next phrase is what we do. You know, he set us that all those things would happen. Yeah. But it's not that we just do those things. Actually, what do we mainly do, and what all those things will come out of, is this last phrase. Right. This is what we do. This is that whatever you ask, the Father in my name, he may give you. So when we think about the gospel, you know, like Brother Ron mentioned in this last summer training, he said, I wonder what you think about when you just hear the words, the gospel, right? You might have a certain concept. What is the gospel? Right away, you know, when he said that, I thought of basically what we did yesterday. Two guys just walking up, two brothers, two sisters, and just speaking to someone. Right. Is that the gospel? Yes, that's the gospel. But that's not all of it. You have to see that behind this talking to someone, speaking to them for the Lord, behind that, there's all this asking. Amen. Okay? It's all one thing, actually. The gospel it is the approaching, the speaking. But behind it, I don't know how much asking we need to have, but we're going to get into this outline here, and it will enlighten us a little bit. What is the gospel? And see the full picture of what the gospel is. So maybe all of us together we can read Roman numeral 1. Amen. Amen. First, we have to pray. How much? Much. Much prayer is needed. You know, and the whole, of course, we just recently had the crystallization of the book of Acts, right? This last winter. And I think maybe we were all impressed. That whole book, 28 chapters, full of gospel preaching, right? Full of the Lord's moving, you know. But what did it all come out of? Prayer. Acts 1:14, right? Amen. They continued steadfastly, okay, and praying in one accord. Amen. And so how long did they pray? For 10 days. You know, the Lord was with them for a period of 40 days, right, appearing to them in resurrection, and then he ascended. But before he ascended, he said, he spoke of that before that you will wait till you receive power from on high, right? The promise of the Father, which is the Spirit, right, was going to be poured out. So he promised them that, and then he's gone. And there they are, you know. What do we do? They just prayed. They prayed day by day, just praying for 10 days in one accord. And then after those 10 days of prayer, what comes is the outpouring of the Spirit. And that was the beginning of this whole book of Acts. All of that activity, right, came out of their prayer, the outpouring of the Spirit. So this is the same. We have to realize that if we're going to go back, we should have a burden that there be some gospel on our campuses or whatever situation we're in. You know, maybe if we're working, I don't know. Some of you, whatever you're going back to, right? We want to see the Lord reach out, right? We want to see the Lord take steps where we are. But so first, we need to have much prayer. So let's have the brothers read point A. Amen. Sisters, how about you read that point?
Prayer is the foundation to leading men to Christ.
Amen.
Before one opens his mouth before man, he must first open his mouth before God.
Amen. That's very good. So I think a lot of these points, they come out of this book. I wanted to show it to you. You might already have it. Booklet, really. It's pretty short. I think it's only 16 pages. It's from the New Believers series by Watchman Nee. Leading men to Christ. It's very good. I remember when I was a student, somehow someone passed it to me, told me about it. I picked it up and I read it and I was just amazed, you know. Because when we see this, don't you want to lead men to Christ? Yeah, I wanted to lead men to Christ, right? There's something inside of me. Oh, I want to lead men to you, Lord. How do I do it? Well, it's really, I loved it. I opened the book up and you know, it's just divided into two halves, almost perfectly. Eight pages. First half, going to God on man's behalf. So then, and then the second half, going to man on God's behalf. So the gospel, first of all, when we're burdened for the gospel, we have to say, oh Lord, you know, we don't start by going to man right away, right? First, we need to lay a foundation, right? According to this, prayer is the foundation. We want to pave a big foundation, you know, for anything we would do. So, our gospel preaching really needs just to be a priestly service to God. So let's actually read those two verses that are listed after point A. 1 Peter 2:5-9. Flip to 1 Peter 2:5. Okay, just 1 second. Ready? Go. Yourselves also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God the Father, Jesus Christ. In verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Oh, saints, we are a royal priesthood. And all the gospel work is really, it's not a work that we do, that we just go and do. It's actually our priestly service to God. This was also referred to in this last training. We serve, our service is our worship to God, right? So all of our gospel preaching, even though we may get stirred up, oh, I want to go. And we should be stirred up. We should want to go, but and this was just my experience. Also, I had to keep learning this. I'm still learning this lesson. You know, that all of our activity, all of our service to God, should come out of this kind of cycle of us going to God, and then what do? We go to God and we say, Lord, I want you to do something on my campus. Lord, even you, more specifically, eventually he would give you some names of your companions, classmates, workmates, and Brother Juan's going to talk a little more about that. But we should have some that eventually the Lord brings on our heart, and we just give them to the Lord first, you know, before we go to those people. We give them to the Lord. You know, this is the way Paul labored. And even in Galatians, we were reading it, he says many times that he did this and he did that according to revelation. And what that means is he had been ministering to the Lord in his prayer and his spirit, right? And then out of that prayer, the Lord gave him something. He didn't go out of his own thought or his own preference, his own initiation. He went to God, right? And so this is what we do. This is what we do. We go to God first. God, we bring names to the Lord. The Lord anoints our prayer, right? He might anoint us and lead us. Yes, this one. No, not this one. We just follow the anointing within. And even the Lord would tell us, what should we say? Who should we go to? When should we go to them? Maybe even sometimes it's not even us the one that should go to them. And that's why we really need to have, and this is wonderful, I think the brothers will cover more tomorrow, the companions, right? We're not just priests individually, but we're part of a priesthood. And this is how we labor, is in our priesthood. So we should pray, we should have individual prayer like this, and we should pray with the brothers, you know, or the sisters like this. We have a little priesthood that we come together, amen, right? And the Lord would lead us corporately. Amen. So anyway, let's just keep reading some of these points here. Real quick, let's read brothers' point B and sisters' point C.
As Christians, we are priests and kings. First, as priests, we should bring people to the Lord in our prayer. Then, as kings, we should preach the word of the Lord to people.
Mm-hmm. Sisters. Amen. So this point C is another reason we need to pray, not only to receive something from the Lord, right? And not only to serve the Lord as priests, we do everything out from the Lord, but there is an enemy, right? He hates for this gospel, right, to be preached. And so we do have to pray fighting prayers, binding prayers. I was going to read to you Matthew 12:29, you might know it. So this is the Lord. He's talking about how he was casting out demons, right? They accused him of doing it by Beelzebul, right? But he said, no, but I, by the Spirit of God, cast out the demons. But then he gives a little window into how he was doing it. And this is something we do. It says, or how can anyone enter into the house of the strong man and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will thoroughly plunder his house. It's so good. So there is a strong man, you know, in every campus. It's the same strong man, you know, it's Satan. But there should be some recognition. He's a strong man. You know, we can't take him on in ourselves, you know, but by the Spirit, you know, in our prayer, we're joined to the Lord. Right? The kingdom of God is coming through our prayer. And what do? We bind that strong man. Mainly, I'd say it's what the strong man does is he's veiling people. He puts a thick veil over all of the different, all of us. You know, he tries to put it over all of us so that we would not, so you go to the, you know, like to, even yesterday, maybe we went up to some and you try to speak to them something so good you just enjoyed and it's just like... Like, I think some of the sisters even said, like, you know, are you even hearing anything I'm saying? You know, sometimes we have that experience because they don't see it. You know, you're talking to them, but they're veiled. So how does that veil come away? Not by our speaking stronger and convincing. No, you don't understand this, you know. And they're still blind. Oh, then they'll just still argue with you, right? Like the brother said the other day, you know, about trying to apprehend things with the wrong organ, you know. So how are we gonna take that veil away is we need to first of all pray. But through our prayer, through much prayer, even not just once, you know, and then you might go, but even like so many of you, I appreciated so much the testimonies last night, I'm not really telling you anything new, right? You guys already know these things, you know, about we need to pray. We need to pray beforehand. We need to pray while we're there. And then afterwards, we want to pray some more. And then we might go again, you know, and then we might pray again. And then we might go again, you know. The Lord is just, through this prayer and our going as kings, the Lord will do something. But especially, we need to pray the Lord would bind the strong man. Remove that veil. And then, real quickly, and then what I'm going to share is that this point two, to summarize it, is that in our prayer, well, I'll just read it. If we are going to be prevailing in the gospel, we need to go to the Lord every day in prayer to get ourselves adjusted, cleansed, enlightened, exposed, and rebuked by the Lord. Amen. We need to be rebuked by the Lord. Of course, this is a loving rebuke, right? Because we love the Lord, we want Him to adjust us. And we do need lots of adjusting. So not only is our prayer, in the sense of asking the Lord to do things for us, but actually, we need to have this other kind of prayer too, and probably just personally. In our personal time with the Lord, we would ask the Lord, you know. Actually, maybe you're not asking the Lord, you're just getting into the light, you know. God is light, right? We get into Him, we're praying, especially in our morning time, Brother Ricky shared. We call, you know, then we pray, and then we pray read. But as we're pray reading, we get some light out of the Word, and the Lord just starts to shine. Right? He starts to shine, and we love the shining. It shows us our true condition, right? Don't you want to see your true condition? I want to see my true condition, you know? And then when we see it, what do? We confess it, right? Lord, you're right. Lord, right. I still have something in my living that doesn't match you. I'm going and telling people about the Lord Jesus, but then they look at me and they don't see the Lord Jesus. Right, and so that's our testimony. Amen. And so we need lots of this loving adjustment from the Lord. So anyway, I'll come up. Amen. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, may thy living light, Lord, scatter all my night, Lord, and everything make bright, Lord, for this I pray to thee. Praise the Lord, we are in the college training. Amen. I'm so happy I came to the college training to be trained. Amen. You know, I'm not here standing as a trainer, I'm a trainee. Really, I really just enjoy so much. It's kind of a privilege to be here with you young saints pursuing Christ. Amen. Laying hold of Him and gaining Him. What an awesome thing. And I just wanted to point out to you that training means furnishing and equipping. And you are being furnished and equipped to what? To bring in the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what's happening. And by the Lord's mercy, you paid a price, you presented yourself, and you are here being equipped and furnished with Christ, being saturated, being transfused, being infused to what? To go, right? The Lord's commission to us is to go. And but before we go, as Brother Dean shared, we have to, before we open our mouth to man, we must open our mouth before God. That is an ironclad principle of going to man to tell them about the good news of Jesus. Before we open our mouth, we have to have something behind us, right? Which is that as priests, we came into the Lord's presence. We brought, actually, to come to God's presence and to pray is to contact God and to commune with God and to be infused with what's in God's heart. Amen. So then we come to Him. We get infused with Him. You go in as a priest. And listen to this. You come out as a king. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You are clothed with God. You're clothed with His marvelous authority. You're filled with the Spirit. And then when you speak the word, the Spirit follows your word. And there is impact. Why? Because there was prayer. And actually, you have become one with the head to carry out the desires of the head. It's just marvelous. So then, you know, as we, I don't think we can overemphasize this matter of prayer. Prayer has to be the foundation before we do anything for God, quote, quote. Before we do anything, there has to be prayer. And here, in point two, there is the first phrase there. It says, if we are going to be prevailing on the gospel. Yesterday, you had a gospel experience. And that was wonderful. I enjoyed all your testimonies, how you prayed, how the Lord followed you, how you were with Him. Even you asked the Lord to give you some. The Lord gave you some. That was like, they already gave the message. We don't need to say anything, you know. You experienced this. You experienced praying to the Lord, being clothed by the Spirit, and then going out and what? And seeing whom the Lord has prepared. And that is very normal. But the second point points out that if we want to be prevailing, there has to be, what the brothers were sharing this morning, there has to be a peripateo, which here is a daily life in which, listen to this, in which we come to the Lord every day. Amen. Every day we have to come to Him and allow Him to shine, to adjust us, to enlighten us, even to rebuke us, so that in His light we would confess and there would not be any hindrance to the Lord within us. So this mentions that there is no, the greatest obstacle, this is point B, the greatest obstacle to prayer is sin. The greatest obstacle to prayer is not that you didn't go to the Lord. You might have gone to the Lord, but you might not have dealt with your sins. And I just want to give you a little handle on dealing with the Lord and dealing with the light. When we come to the Lord is always faithful. If we touch Him, there will be light. There will be light. And it is according to that light that we must deal with whatever the Lord points out. So, and all we are responsible for is what the Lord points out in the light. So, as we come to the Lord, He exposes us, He adjusts us. You were too much here. You know, your words were too much there. You're lacking in your living here. And you took that thing that is not yours. You went to this place. You spoke in this way. Maybe these five things the Lord exposes. So on some of them, I just have to repent. I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry I went there. Lord, I'm sorry I took you there. Lord, I'm sorry I grieved you. Then when I have taken something that is not mine and is still in my being, and is still in my possessions, I just say, Lord, I am sorry I took it, but I like it. No, you have to give it back. You see, you have to complete the cycle of dealing with what the Spirit has enlightened you with. That is dealing with the Lord. Dealing with the Lord is just following. Listen, dealing with the Lord is following the leading of the Spirit. That's it. Sometimes, like, I have to deal with the Lord. You just come to the Lord. There is light there. And you just follow His leading. Right? Then if you spoke harsh words to a brother or to your wife in my case, or to a brother in the church, or a sister in the church, or just another unbeliever, you just have to go and say, I'm sorry for my attitude when I was speaking to you. Like, what? Who are you? Are you from this planet? That may be the opening for the gospel for that person. You see? So then, in the light, we deal with sins. And then, our prayers can be answered. Hallelujah! You know, in Isaiah, it tells us that the Lord's arm is not too short that He cannot save. And His ear is not too, what? Too heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have hidden, right? The face of God from you. Our sins keep us from God's face. Right? So another verse in Proverbs, Proverbs 28, 13, it tells us that a man who confesses his sins shall prosper. Right? But a man who hides his sins shall not prosper. Right? I like to read that verse to you. I don't know if you, Proverbs, I believe it's 28, 13. If you have it, you can look it up. This is a wonderful verse. Proverbs Is it 28:13? Maybe I'm misquoting this here. No, here it is. He who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Isn't that good? Brothers and sisters, whatever is sin, we have to call it what it is. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't say, oh, I was like this. If it is sin, just acknowledge it before the Lord. Yes, Lord, this is sin. Just agree with the light. It is sin. And then it says, he who confesses and what? And forsakes it, right? There are things, brothers and sisters, that we realize and, you know, that we do over and over and over, right? Those are called what? Besetting sins. It besets you. It brings you out of yourself all the time. It brings you out of the spirit all the time. Right? Yeah. Listen to this. You will never overcome a besetting sin until you're built up with others.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Don't think that you will be a strong super Christian by yourself and this thing that keeps bothering you day after day, you will overcome by yourself. You may make that overcoming, trying to overcome that, a religion. Remember from last night? Right. But we need to be built up with others. In what? In a genuine way, in the Spirit. So that if the Lord leads, I can open my weakness to this person that I trust and that I know it will not divulge my weakness and will pray with me and will stand with me. And whenever I am weak, I can call that person. Brother, I'm being tempted right now. Pray for me. Come here. Let me come to your house. Are you plagued with some of these things? I am. Because I am just like you. I'm flesh. But, praise the Lord, the Lord placed us in the body.
Amen.
He placed us together.
Amen.
With some others. And I would say it is harder for brothers to open to each other and to be built up. Because we are just that way. We want to be kept and we don't want to be vulnerable to anybody. So I'm just taking a little detour here. Brothers, spend time with your lovely Lord Jesus and seek him that he may give you a companion that you could overcome. So that your prayers may be answered. In 1 Peter, you know, 1 Peter 3, it says there concerning the husbands and the wives, right, that the husband should consider the wife, right, as the weaker female vessel, and she should render honor to her, right? And then he says there's a phrase there, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know what hinders your prayers sometimes? You offend people, and you never take care of the offenses. So you pray to the Lord, Lord, save my friend, save my friend, save my friend. And the Lord is back there in your conscience. You may not hear him because there is sin there. He's saying, apologize to your friend. Apologize for what you did. That your prayers may not be hindered. Isn't that good? God gives us the way to peripateo and stoicheo. He gave it to us. It's here. But we have a problem, right? The enemy lives within us. So we have to ask the Lord, Lord, you know, and that's, again, you know, this is part of coming together and praying together to realize who we are and what we are and acknowledging what we are and ask the Lord, Lord, you are my Savior. You are our Savior. You have to save us from this. And we are burdened for what you want to do, Lord. So we want for you to use us. Okay. C here and two, we must pray even daily to keep ourselves absolutely free and open to the Lord, asking him to bring our entire being to the light for a full and utter exposure of our real condition. Sisters, point one. Brothers, two, if we allow the Lord to touch us inwardly, we have everything in our life and living checked by him, then we will have a daily life that matches the gospel, and our preaching will be full of impact. Okay, together, three. We must learn to pray continually and living faith. to have lasting results in our gospel preaching. Okay, so point two deals with being prevailing in the gospel, right? That means that our speaking of the word has impact. And then not only this, there has to be a living that matches to have lasting results. This is all connected to last message. It's all connected here. Because the carrying out of the commission, of the Lord's commission to us, is a stoicheo. To go out there and preach the gospel, that means you have a goal. And you're coordinating with the head so that he can gain what he wants. Okay? So, in Acts 1:14, after the Lord ascended, these are people who were so excited that a few days earlier, they just were so frightened that their Lord had been crucified, and where is he? And then the Lord appeared to them. And not only did he appear to them, but he ascended before them. You know, he was with them 40 days. And then they went back and they prayed steadfastly, right, for 10 days. And that brought in what? The pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then many got saved, right? Peter stood up with the 11, and 3,000 got saved, and 5,000 got saved. And but what preceded that? Prayer. Then in chapter 4, as James and Peter, John and Peter are out there preaching the gospel and speaking the words of this life, they get what? They get apprehended by the Sanhedrin, and they're questioned by them. And then eventually they cannot keep them. They have to release them. So where do they go? They go to their people, right? They go, and let me just read to you this account, which is awesome. This is Acts 4, then 23 through 31. It says, "And when they had been released, they went to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them." You know, what were they doing? They were preaching the gospel. Right, but they got persecuted. You cannot be on this campus. You're not supposed to speak about Jesus. What are we supposed to do? Go to your people and pray. Amen. Right? It's like, oh yeah, we can do this. Forget about it. Just keep studying. No! You're there for the gospel. You're not there for your degree. You're there for the gospel. That's what you are on your campus for. Forget about physics. Understand me, what I'm saying. If you have a position on the campus, you have to pray. That's what he's saying here. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voice with one accord to God and said, "Sovereign Master, you're the one who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all things in them, who through the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, has said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise vain things?' The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do what your hand and your counsel predestinated to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings." Right? "And grant your slave to speak your word with boldness." Amen. "While stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had so besought, that means they pray earnestly. They earnestly beseech the Lord to do what he wanted to do. They were one with the Lord in the heavens. So the Lord in the heavens, who was one with the body on the earth, he's just compelled to do what? To pour out the Spirit. Amen. This is not just for them, brothers and sisters. This is for us. Amen. To be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Okay, so it says here, "And when they had so besought, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak the word of God with boldness." Isn't that awesome? This could be our experience. Every day. As we are there on that campus, you are there. Oh, I'm so glad you're not there for your degree. And if you're there for your degree, I want to put this into you. You're not there for your degree.
Amen.
You're there for the gospel.
Right.
You're a debtor. Anyway, we all need a proper education. We do. But the Lord places us in certain places, right? At CCSU, that's where I am, Central Connecticut State University, where the mascot is the Blue Devil. I mean, that's pretty blatant, right? The strong man is blue there. We have to bind him. Right? This is, okay. So, we must pray continually and pray with living faith to have lasting results in our gospel preaching. Okay, I don't have much time, but I want to convey this to you, and that is, in order to preach the gospel, which is equal, listen to this, to preach the gospel is equal to bringing in the kingdom of God. You should write that down. To preach the gospel is equal to bringing the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, to bring in the kingdom of God, we must be in the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a realm in which God can do whatever he wants. Praise the Lord for this. What is happening in this training? In this training, we are being furnished, we're being equipped to live in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
To live by the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit. When we have that kind of living, when we pray, we are executing what the head wants to do on the earth. Instead of begging poor prayers, we are just commanding the Lord,
amen,
according to what is in his heart to do.
Amen.
That is the kingdom. To pray with living faith and to pray continually, we need to be in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That means that my being, me, Juan Fuentes at 244, whatever my street name is, Amherst Street, right? I just moved there a few months ago. Must be under the ruling of Jesus, my Savior, my Master, my boss, my Lord, my CEO, my commanding officer. Do you get all those things? Is he that to us? Is he that to me? When I am living in that kind of realm with others, brothers and sisters, we pray, and we are just one with God. And you realize his burden for this one in my physics class, his burden for that one in my English class, his burden for this one that always sits there in that table. You start seeing God's heart all over that campus. Why? Because he desires all men to be saved. And when you are in his kingdom, what happens? You are just God on that campus. Vinicius, you have to be God wherever your campus is. We are God in that campus. Why? Because we're one with him. We're one with him on the throne. He wants to do this. He wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. Then we're just, he can do in us whatever he wants to do. So what does he do? He continuously pray. And he prays with living faith. Don't think living faith comes from you. You know, many people have this wrong thought. The Bible says, whatever you have asked, right, believe that it shall be done to you and it will be given to you, right? So they just, you know, they muster up something. Oh, Lord, you know, this thing, oh, you already gave it to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But nothing transpired in the spiritual realm. It's just a mental understanding of the verse without touching God, without being in the kingdom of God. So you think, you know, there is this kind of movement among Christianity. I met a brother. He was into faith. And he went to a school that's what they preach. Whatever you believe, it will come past to you. You know, it's like positive thinking. Just think Cadillac and you will have a Cadillac. You know, this kind of thing. That's not the faith that he's talking about, living faith. The faith here is the faith that flows from the throne into our being to what? To give solid substance to what God has placed in your heart concerning His move. That's living faith. So when you pray for that person, you know God's heart is absolutely to save that person. And whatever you ask in His name, He will do. You know, in John 14, He says, whatever you ask in My name, I will do. Then John 15 says, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will do. Whatever you ask, He will do. That is all in the context of bearing fruit. Amen. And we bear two kinds of fruit. We bear the beautiful expression of Christ through our human virtues. When we love, people realize, this person loves me. They really love me. And don't think that people don't know that you love them or you don't love them. And don't think that people cannot discern whether you are doing a work on them or whether you're being one with the Lord to carry out His move. And you are really loving them with the love of God. They know. People know. Are you just trying to get me to call on Jesus so you can, one more notch? Or are you really burdened with what God is burdened on the throne? Okay, practically, the last point. We need companions to pray with that we might bear fruit corporately. Okay, I have 2 minutes here. Brothers, A. Amen. You need to read that portion in Daniel, actually earlier in Daniel, when Daniel, Daniel and his friends were, part of the wise men of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he says, very unreasonable. And he says, if you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to kill you all. So, of course, Daniel and his three friends would be killed. So then he goes there and he finds out, right, what's going on. When Daniel finds out what is the decree of the king, what does he do? Prayed with his friends. He went to them. Listen to this. He went to them and they besought the Lord so they would get to know the dream. Then, when they prayed, listen to this. When they prayed, Daniel got the vision. It wasn't like Daniel was this, prayer warrior, Oh, yeah, I want to pray for my friends, Oh, Lord, save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Save them, Lord, don't let us die. No. He went and prayed with them. They besought the Lord together. And then the Lord gave the vision to Daniel. You know what they were? They were four living creatures. They were the four living creatures there coordinating in prayer to carry out God's move. Okay. So we need to set times, what? 2 or 3 times a week. Okay. You need to look to the Lord in this coming semester that the Lord will give you someone, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 more, that you can pray with them 2 or 3 times a week for your campus, for yourselves. And you can open to one another, start caring for one another. It can be formed into this marvelous nucleus. Okay. One, we need to make a list together. Huh? We need to make a list of acquaintances, including our relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues, and pray over the name list, asking the Lord to place at least 2 or 3 persons in our hearts. I covered this somewhat already. We should write down their names in our record book, and continually bring them to the Lord through prayer. A record book will keep us and will help us to be specific and persistent in our prayer. B. We must be watchful to fight at every pray and be on guard Satan's strategies. Amen. Okay. Practically, pray with 2 or 3. Make a list, and then get a book Get a little book. Get an accounting book and make a few columns. The day you started to pray, the name of the prayer, you know what the prayer is, and when that prayer was answered. This will encourage you as you start seeing your prayers being answered. Do it. Just test the Lord for one semester. Right? Just do it. And then that will become a habit. Habit on you. Right? Then the last point is we need to beware not to be brought out of this atmosphere, of this pursuit of prayer together. The enemy will do all kinds of things to what? To disrupt that vital group that you have, right? Those two or three that are praying, don't think that Satan is going to be just, oh yeah, just let them be. No. You have to be watchful. Be watchful with thanksgiving. Okay, Brother Lee shares in Colossians 4:2, in that footnote, he says, in order, he says, thanksgiving is, okay, the lack of thanksgiving is a show window of your lack of prayer. If you're not a person full of thanksgiving, that means you're a person that prays very little. So we need to watch in it, that's in prayer, with thanksgiving. That's the verse there in Colossians 4:2. Okay, why are we thankful? Because we're seeing all the things the Lord is doing. We are just one with the Lord. We're full of thanksgiving to the Lord that match our prayer. As we are full of thanksgiving, we are watching that we will not be brought out of the Spirit, that our group would not be disrupted, that the Lord's move would not be hindered, so that we can pray together. It is, you know, I have to end here, but this matter, brothers and sisters, it is bringing the kingdom of God. And to bring the kingdom of God is to be in the kingdom of God, right? The reason why the demons were so upset whenever the Lord Jesus came around was, have you come now to torment us? Our time is not yet. This should be our experience. When you walk into your classroom, when you walk into your class, wherever they are, the demons should be like, whoa, God is here. We better watch out. I'm serious. There has to be that kind of impact in our contact with people. That wherever we are, we bring in the kingdom of God. And all of this is through prayer. How about we take a minute to pray with your 2x2?